Well, you know what I love about this? Now, this is just slightly, I'm not going to say sadistic and not nasty, but maybe just a little bit naughty. But I'll tell you what, LA, talking with you tonight is, it's tweaking up a few people out there. I think, you know, and it's like one guy said, if I wanted to hear this, I'd go to church. Way too much God and not enough of the other stuff that traditionally the show has been founded on, which is, you know, what art created. But, well, it's that was then and this is now. And I'm delighted because the side seems so completely delineated, you know. You've got, and by the way, somebody corrected our English, yours and mine.
I got the same email.
Did you get the part about interesting?
Yes, interesting.
All right. From now on, we shall say very interesting. We'll Thank use you. Our Oxonian accents yes. to make ourselves seem more credible. Now, what's all this about 2012? Everybody's all jacked up about 2012, and you observe, you know, 12, 21, 12, that adds up. If you add all the numbers together, you get 9, which is the number of God. So is that just coincidence, or is there something to this?
Let's get into some stuff here. Before I jump into 2012, just let me finish a little Darwinism thing. Basically, Darwinism does is it chips away at anything supernatural. So now here in the West, and, you know, for the people that think that we're in church, just give me a little bit of time. I'm not talking church, okay? I'm talking real supernatural war stuff that's happening. And it's happening right in front of your faces. Most people don't understand what's going on. Darwinism is a plant because in order to change and create a new paradigm, you first must remove the old paradigm. Darwinism has done that. It's taught in our schools from junior high on up as fact, and it is just a theory. What that does is it chips away at the foundation of Western civilization. Like it or not, it is Judeo-Christian thought. We enjoy the freedoms in this country because our Declaration of Independence tells us that we have certain inalienable rights, and all men are created equal. Have we lived up to that? Of course not. But it's still there in ink, and it's bold, and it's screaming at us. So where does it come from? It comes from Judeo-Christian worldview. Other countries don't have that springboard to get to democracy, going back to the Middle East, which is why in the Middle East, they will not be democracy. They have no springboard. And for the people that think that we're talking church here, let me say this, because you can tell it gets my hackles up here. All over this planet, the supernatural events have colored the body politic everywhere, and different supernatural events have shaped the body politic in India, in Iran, which believes in Sharia law, in India, which believes in reincarnation, and of course in the West, which believes in Judeo-Christian thought. But they're all based on supernatural events, and that begs the question, if supernatural events happened before, will they happen again? And the answer to that is yes. I'm not talking church here. I'm talking about entities from other dimensions coming into this, talking about the coming great deception. Darwinism, and this is what's amazing, when Ben Stein sits down with our boy Richard Dawkins and asks the question, Dawkins is intellectually bankrupt. He has no answer other than to say, well, maybe millions of years ago in some other galaxy, a race of aliens somehow genetically created us. What? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. And that's the whole point. But what it does, he's already on board with what I call the coming great deception. Now, from there, we move to the Mayan calendar. All we hear is 2012, 2012, 2012. I've done a bunch of research on Quetzalcoatl, depending on who you believe it's or which book you're reading. One person will say, well, it might have been one of the apostles. Another person says it could have been Jesus. Somebody else says, no, it's some, you know, some bearded white god or whatever, and on it goes. The bottom line is this, we don't know who this being was. But we know that when he shows up, this whole system springs into place. We've got books from antiquity, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of them specifically known as the Book of Enoch, which tells us, and I'm not talking church here, folks, tells us that fallen angels showed up on Mount Hermon thousands and thousands of years ago. Well, the question is, if they showed up once, is there any protocol saying if they can't show up again? And right away, we're back into this cosmic chess match, this war. Where does a culture like the Maya somehow able to construct pyramids during the summer solstice, then it appears like an undulating serpent is coming down the side of the pyramid? Why the pyramid? See, I was on and the Ancient Alien show, History's Ancient Alien, season one, season two. And they asked me for season three, but I wouldn't go back because I gave them 5 hours of yak, and I was edited down to about 3 minutes because my paradigm is different than the paradigm that they're promulgating on Ancient Aliens, which is fine. It's their show. From that came our Watchers series, which, you know, Watchers 1, UFOs are real burgeoning, not going away, plug, plug, shameless plug, and Watchers 2. We're working on Watchers 3. But the whole purpose of that is to get this other paradigm, this other worldview out to people to make up their own minds. What if it's fallen angels that are coming down into the Maya? And what most people never talk about is that the Maya engaged in human sacrifice. 70,000 people were ritualistically slaughtered. Why? And what people don't understand, this goes back into ancient Babylonian system, which is put in place thousands of years ago. The whole idea of human sacrifice, which ties us back into Halloween, or Samhain is what the name really is, and the whole idea of bonfires, which are really bone fires, where they would take the bones of the sacrifice of humans or animals and create a bone fire and set these things ablaze. When? On Hallows Eve, or Samhain is what it's really called. All this is totally connected. It is completely connected, and it bears the fingerprints not only of the supernatural, it bears the fingerprints of a very evil entity, which up till this point in time has not shown himself, you know, overtly. There's going to come a time when he'll be cast down, and we'll see, you know, all bets are off. But getting back to the Maya, why human sacrifice? Why 70,000? Where is this information coming from? Just like Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the Mayan calendar, unless we know, unless we can and verify the source of the information, there's no way to trust it. And I'll say it again, there's no way to trust it. 2012 is a self-fulfilling prophetic staged event, in my opinion. It is a no-show. It's just like Common Element. It's a red herring. All it's done is obfuscate real prophecy, in my opinion, which has been set in place, which is screaming at us from the Middle East. It's right there. All you got to do is open the book and read it and look at what's happening in the Middle East, and it's screaming at us. The Mayan prophecy of 2012 comes from, this goes back to our cornfield analogy, comes from what I consider the second heaven. Who dwells in the second heaven? The fallen one dwells in the second heaven. And so the information from there, some of it may be right, because deception, you just don't, you know, trick a person, right? You lead them along slowly. And it's the same thing that happened to the Mayans that happened in way back in antiquity, as we read in the Book of Enoch, which, of course, was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But we read the Book of Enoch that these fallen beings, these entities, came and they traded knowledge for access to the population. And the knowledge was metallurgy, literally how to destroy the embryo in the womb, different use of herbs, weapon making. And what do we see with the Mayans? They have this whole ceremonial system somehow arises from where? And so why should I believe in the Mayan calendar or anything else from them when they have 70,000 human sacrifices chalked up to them, and that is ritualistic? And this is Halloween, right? So I can talk about this stuff. But this is ritualistic, satanic blood sacrifice. That's what it is. And the same thing, unfortunately, is going on in the covens, not only in America, but in other places on this night. The same exact bloodletting and sacrifice, human or otherwise, is taking place in different places. So when I talk about cosmic chess match, folks, and you think I'm talking about church, it's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are in league with this, with the forces of darkness, as I would call them.
You know, all this
is operating as I speak.
I'm in complete agreement with you, and this is the thing that's really strange. We got a little floating break coming up, don't we, LA?
Mm-hmm.
Not Mr. Marzulli, but LA Control. Sorry, I should have put the control at the end of it. Here's the thing: people will look at this stuff. They watch horror movies.
Right.
They really like that stuff. And then you flip over to the History Channel, and they go, and you go from your horror movie, your favorite little slasher movie, you go to a History Channel thing where they've gone into a Mayan tomb, and there they have the skeletal remains of a female. Mm-hmm. She's all splayed out there, and they have figured out through the course of their investigation that her intestines were removed and then brought up there to the altar area, mm-hmm. the sacrificial area, and off. Now, it's one thing if you're watching something that you know is fantasy. It's quite another thing. So in other words, you go to the slasher movie and you go, oh, wow, that's really scary. And then you go over to the History Channel and you go, ooh, that's absolutely completely disgusting. So this is the old John Wells fire the shotgun out the back door thing, just hit all kinds of stuff. But you know, going back to what you said about, look, I'm not talking church people.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. But the thing that I believe is producing some of the, what I'll just lump into the category of negative responses, I think it's fear. Because everybody knows something is wrong, and that wrong is getting bigger and stronger with every passing day. And I want to get into it some more with you. I want you to take us absolutely anywhere you want to go. It's just you and me and about 16 million of our closest friends. Okay? This is Coast to Coast AM, and we shall return with L.A. Marzulli. L.A. Marzulli, do you think perhaps some of this stuff is just so heady people don't want to think about it? In other words, if you're in a situation and you're confronted, you may have your old 1911, your old pistol, your old 45 right there, and you're confronted with something that's so unexpected and so ugly and so imminently deadly that you can't even pull the thing out. Do you think that's what's happening in some cases mentally or even spiritually with people who've sensed something is going on, but they really don't want to deal with it?
I think this. I think that there's so much nonsense out there that when people have this, unfortunately, they have a preconceived notion of what I'm talking about because they've either been at church or they've been hurt by the church or they look at the hypocrisy in the church. And I agree with them. The church is why it's done some amazing things. It's also done some real crazy things. And in the name of religion, all sorts of nutty things have happened. But that's not what I'm talking about. When Yeshua was here 2,000 years ago, most people know him as Jesus. You know, he did everything. It's amazing. You can't argue with that. I mean, you know, healing the sick. If you've got terminal cancer and this guy comes in and he just speaks over you and that cancer is, you know, you walk out of the room 10 minutes later and you're well and your body's restored. How can that possibly be? We are talking about the supernatural. But again, in the West, all that has been dumbed down. So the churches are very ritualistic in the sense that, you know, you come, you sit, you listen to some sermon, and you go out. There's nothing supernatural at all. Nothing. You go, you sit, you listen, you put some money in the plate, and you get up and you walk out. What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
When we look at the guidebook of the supernatural is what I really call the Bible because that's what it is. When we look at that, what it is it story after story after story after story of the supernatural, of men and women engaging with the supernatural. So you say, well, L.A., you know, what does that have to do with me? Look, I engage with it all the time. I'll just give you one quick example that happened last week, okay? But there's other stuff. Look, I say this jokingly, but I mean this with all sincerity. My desk, you know, is the real X-Files, the stuff that comes across this desk on a daily basis. I mean, you can't make this stuff up and write it. But I was up at a conference, and I was speaking at this conference, and there was a person at the end of the conference asking about SRA. Well, SRA is satanic ritual abuse, and since we're talking about Samhain, or Halloween as it's commonly known, satanic ritual abuse is done in the covens throughout the United States and other places. It's what they do is they'll take a person and ritually abuse them, usually at a very young age, and what they found, this goes back to Mengele and the concentration camps of World War II, but its roots goes deeper than that, and what they found out is the trauma produces a split in the personality, but the main personality will submerge and they create an alter personality. From that alter personality, they can program that alter personality to do all sorts of things. Now, this is part of the cosmic chess match. You know, this is the other side doing what they're doing. I'll just give you one example. Jared Loughner, the Arizona shooter, in my opinion, was more than likely an SRA, SRA victim. I mean, to do what he did, he was an assassin. And, you know, now that he's obviously the psychological examination, all this other stuff, the guy was triggered. How do I know that? There's a colleague of mine by the name of Russ Dizdar. Russ emailed me a story. Several months after Jared was arrested, a teacher that was at the same college that Loughner attended was sitting in a meditation position at the crime scene and chanting these words, "We are the chosen ones. We are the ones you've been waiting for." Now, if that means nothing to anyone unless you've traveled in SRA, satanic ritual abuse, to know that that's what these altars talk about. They talk about the day where they are the chosen ones. We are the ones you've been waiting for. They're going to manifest on this planet. And look, I'm not making this stuff up. Anyway, I'm at this conference. This woman comes up to me talking about SRA. To cut to the chase, a few hours later, four of us do a deliverance with her, and we cast out two demons. Now, I know some of your listeners are going, oh, come on. You have to be there to see it. And it's not The Exorcist, okay? We were in total control of the thing. We had the authority, and we worked at that authority, and she manifested twice, and we got rid of them. That's the kind of stuff that happens with what I do, not on a daily basis, and it's not something that I relish in or, you know, go after. She found us. We did what we were supposed to do. But she later bolted. Like, several hours later, she could stay at the camp, and we had a room for her and all this other stuff, and she bolted. That's probably what's known as a runner, come in to check us out to see what's going on. And even though certain work was done, she left. It's people need to understand. They really don't get this, not talking church. We are in a cosmic war, a cosmic chess match, and it is spilling out into this dimension. When we look at do you really think earthquakes at 7.0 is almost on a weekly basis? You know, these are the birth pangs, and they happen continually over and over and over again. What about the Katla volcano, or the Ifalahoka volcano, or the volcano in the Canary Islands, and a volcano in Chile, and on it goes. Do you really think it's business as usual when in Massachusetts they have a foot of snow in October, and that hasn't happened since the freaking Civil War? Hello? We're not in Kansas anymore. It's softening the objective. This all is in prophecy. It says men will look at the raging of the sea in perplexity. In other words, fear, perplexity. And this is exactly what we're seeing now. It's never happened like this, not to the degree that we're seeing it. And at the same time all this is happening, all these earthquakes and famines and wars and pestilence and the uncertainty, it's headed towards something, and it's going to give birth to a seven-year period known as the tribulation. This is all part of this great cosmic war which we're in. And for those who don't believe it, at some point in time when this stuff manifests, think back on this show and go, wait a minute, this guy was talking about this stuff. And listen back to the show, because we'll have some answers for you later.
Well, not only that, but I'd just like to, let me blast off the shotgun again, a couple of things. Okay, that's a mention of a 1911 and a shotgun within 10 minutes. I'm sorry. It's just I'm a simple man, and, you know, sometimes I use analogies like that. But, you know, even the animals, the docile animals are becoming more docile. You can walk up to them. You can walk up to birds easier. Seriously, you can walk up to squirrels easier. The more aggressive animals are becoming more aggressive. There's behavior being observed even in the animals. I saw a deer knock a guy off his motorcycle on a YouTube video the other day. He didn't just run into him. He did it on purpose. He came and knocked the guy off his bike and ran off into the field. I mean, absolutely bizarre, even down to the animal level. And it is undeniable that every creature that roams this earth, well, with the exception of the fish, I don't know what they think about, but... they're feeling something, and I'm stuck. I've got three. That's the problem with going ADD is you get three things going
too much,
at the same time. It really is. This thing about church. LA, I don't know where I was going with that, and I'll just admit it to the whole audience. But I will get back to it. I got too much stuff clogging up the pipe here.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, look, here's the thing. Anything can be perverted. This has absolutely nothing to do with church itself.
No, I agree.
And as a matter of fact, let me put it this way. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, that's how Ephesians 6:12 comes out when you just speak in normal English, instead of the more formal English that's used in the church. We'll come back with L.A. Marzulli in just a minute, and I'll get it together a little tighter. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, that's the thing. He was one of us when he was on Earth. That's just me. You know, I may never speak to you again after tonight. I hope I do, but I may not. So I'm going to have to impart this to you because it's just me. I don't know anywhere in the scripture where you were directed to fall upon your knees. I don't know anywhere in the scripture where Jesus commanded anybody to fall on their knees. The whole point of the matter is that once you behold something odd, think of the most awesome thing that you've ever beheld in your life. whatever it may be, I don't care what it is, how did it make you feel? The most awesome thing you ever saw in your life, whatever it was, multiply it by, multiply it exponentially. And really, what else can you do? Women of all ages cried when they saw the Beatles. That was the most awesome thing they'd ever witnessed. But you know what? You take a look at that universe through that radio telescope. Now, that's awesome. And so what if it was the Anunnaki or whoever? Well, who put them there? Hey, look, I'm not preaching. I'm just asking. Are you asking? I know you are, and that's why you're here. And we are delighted to have you here all together again. We'll be back with L.A. Marzulli in just a minute. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, I don't want to be rude, but I do want you to go to www.caravantomidnight.com. Read those articles we have posted up there on that website. You may find something there that you need, and you'll find the material backing up the reason that I believe that you need it. I have one. In fact, I've got a couple of them, so it's there for you. And the other part is, it's not there to make money. It's really not. We roll everything back over into stock as quick as we can get it, and it ain't really easy getting stuff out of Russia. So everybody who's ordered, just hang in there. The stuff is on its way. We'll email you when it's ready to go. And in the meantime, pick up on one of these things while you can. There's also a weather map there that will show you the wind patterns. And you'll notice they're heading from, well, the site of the Fukushima disaster right over to the Pacific Northwest. So check it out, www.caravantomidnight.com. L.A. Marzulli, that's what I was trying to say a while ago, was the thing about the awesomeness that many people just really need to close their minds to. And I know I'm going to come off like some sort of a Southern Bible-thumping preacher, and, you know, frankly, I don't care, but... But just a real quick story. My grandfather wound up for the last 10, 15 years of his life as a visiting preacher. I never met him. Hmm. But this came after his brother, this is back in the early 1900s, was shot dead in East Texas. And my grandfather went down there. And then I eventually asked my dad, well, tell me about granddad. And one of the things that had happened to him was he had the ring finger on his right hand shot off. Butt of his pistol protected him. Huh. And after that, I said, well, what did grandmother and grandmother do in the evenings? They read and discussed Bible passages. So it's like, gotcha. Okay. So I don't like to inject too much personal stuff, but when I do, I like for it to be slightly eye-opening. And really, you just keep rolling here, because a lot of people are very interested in this and are enjoying this very much. There are a couple of people that are like, I don't want to hear about church. I'll go to church if I want to. It's like, good. But right now we're doing this.
Well, here's, you know, right before the break, you mentioned that passage from Ephesians. And, you know, when we say Ephesians, Ephesians was a city. It was just a way of recognizing where this letter that Paul, this guy who wrote this thing 2,000 years ago, was from. That's all it is. There's no spiritual significance at all. He's just conveying a message. And when we read that, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, let me just say this, and I know I'm going to ruffle feathers, but you know, that's what we do here, right? We're trying to, if everything was okay, we wouldn't be talking about the things we're talking about.
That's right.
But it's not okay. The whole planet's going crazy. I talked earlier about the 70,000 ritualistic satanic sacrifices of the Mayans, okay? And, you know, we look at that, and as you talked about, you know, we can see that the skeleton of a woman found in a tomb, ritualistically, the whole deal, right? So we get that. And then we go, well, that's not happening today, LA. And come on, John, that's like, you know, we wouldn't do that. And I know I'm gonna touch some hot buttons here, so bear with me. The bottom line is, what do you think 1 billion abortions are worldwide? What can be more innocent than a child in its mother's womb? What can be more innocent than that? And most people aren't aware. You know, you talk about, and I'm talking about cosmic chess match stuff here, spiritual, supernatural warfare.
Affects me to the point where I don't even want to address that. If you were asking me that question, I don't really want to answer. It's disgusting is what it is.
Well, 1 billion, and that is ritualistic blood sacrifice, and it has opened up the gates of hell, just like the Holocaust did. This is move, counter move, out of the ashes of the Holocaust came what? the birth of a nation, Israel, which fulfilled the prophecies written 2,600 years ago. 2,600 years ago, that prophecy was written, and out of the ashes of the Holocaust. I mean, it begs the question. Just think about this. If Hitler had won the war, there would be no Jew left on this planet. There'd be no Jew. Why is Israel back in its homeland? Why is it surrounded by hostile nations? Why is it when Egypt overthrows Mubarak, why are they chanting Jerusalem would go martyrs in the millions? There'll be no democracy in Egypt. There'll be Sharia law, just like there will be in Libya and every place else, because there's no springboard to democracy. All this, in my opinion, is part of this cosmic chess match, and it figures into prophecy. It's interesting. Last week, Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, did some saber rattling. Now, if you know what the prophecy is, when Assad mouthed off like this, it makes the hair in the back of your neck go up. If you don't know the prophecy, it won't. So I'm not making this stuff up. But Assad says, if we're attacked in any way, we will rain rockets down on Tel Aviv. Israel promptly responded, you rain rockets on Tel Aviv, we'll go after Damascus. Well, if you know the prophecy written over 2,000 years ago that tells us in the latter days, Damascus will be destroyed. Damascus will become a ruinous heap. And all of a sudden, I mean, here are it's like, right, it's screaming at us. This is what I mean. And all this is written down, which begs the question, if this prophecy is there, who's behind it? Why is it here? It's a guidebook of the supernatural, folks. And I'm not talking church or religion. I'm talking about a guidebook of the supernatural, and the prophecy points us to these things. And what, going back to the abortion thing, 1 billion worldwide? And people wonder why all this stuff is going on. What do you think's going on with that type of ritualistic? Because that's what it is. It's ritualistic blood satanic sacrifice. There's no bones about it. No pun intended. But that's what it is.
And look at what Israel was before 1948 when the partitioning took effect. They became a state in 1949. Yeah.
48, and, May 14th.
48, okay, this was 47. And what most people don't know is that that first attack when the petitioning was occurring in 47, the Israelis defended themselves from that attack with, there was a guy in the United States, this comes from a book called Borman, Nazi in Exile, by Paul Manning. He was a CBS correspondent back, you know, he worked with Cronkite and so forth. They were both correspondents. Uh-huh. And they actually defended themselves with the Messerschmitt 109 fighters that were brokered from ex-Waffen SS men in Belgium. And look how that place has flourished since, because the Americans would not sell them any Mustang surplus fighters, nothing.
Right.
So they bought them from the ex-Waffen SS guys in Belgium, and they turned that first attack around. And absolutely everything that was prophesied as far as the development of that land has actually come to pass, and it's right. Undeniable.
You know, it's very serendipitous that you should bring that story up. Several weeks ago, I was at a synagogue, and again, I'm not Jewish, but I was at a synagogue because a man by the name of Dan Gordon was speaking there. And Gordon holds first of all, he's written scripts for movies and had them produced, and he also holds a very unique perspective because he holds dual citizenship, Israeli and United States citizenship. He's also a captain in the Israeli reserves. So Gordon is there addressing these people at a synagogue, and I'm probably the only non-Jew in the room. I'm just guessing. I'm sitting in the back. And he tells us this story, which is what you were just telling us about, that the Israelis had to buy from the Czechs Messerschmitt 109s, which they disassembled and smuggled out of Europe into Israel. And there were four planes that they had bought at highly inflated prices. The average plane was going for about $5,000. They bought these for over $30,000 per plane.
Ooh.
And there was a column of 10,000 Egyptians, which were 2 hours away from Tel Aviv. A column of 10,000 Egyptians, 2 hours away from Tel Aviv. And these boys get the word, you got to go up and try to do something, help us here. These planes had never flown. They got them out of the hangar. There were no avionics. There was no radar, nothing. And these four planes went out into the desert looking for this column of Egyptians, which they strafed and dropped the few bombs that they have. Well, the Egyptians figured this is just a scouting mission. The real Israeli Air Force will be coming soon. So they turn tail and they run. The title of the war changes. But what blew me away, and this is what's serendipitous about your story, Then Dan Gordon introduced the sole remaining fighter pilot from that mission, and the room erupted. And the man stood up, and the room erupted. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The guy's like in his 80s now, and his entire family was wiped out in Auschwitz. Heavy stuff.
Can you imagine?
And getting back to the Cosmic Chess match, this is a move. The move is, if the fallen one can wipe out every Jew off the planet, then the Most High God is a liar, because the prophecy of Ezekiel 37 won't happen. And I know that, you know, some people are going, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. And the counter move, of course, is the birth of Israel, which fulfills that prophecy. And we see this all through the, you know, 6,000 years of human history, whatever you want to call it. It's move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move, all through the guidebook of the supernatural. And we're in it right now. There's all sorts of moves happening, and we're about to see some counter moves.
I have to just mention this. It's amazing, because, you know, on this program, there's a lot of discussion of UFOs, mm-hmm. black helicopters, conspiracy theories, you know, garden fairies and gnomes, you know, whatever. It's all wide open. But you would be amazed if you were looking at this email inbox right here. You would be amazed. Easily 95%. I think probably more like 98%. Are really, really enjoying this. There are only two or three that come in out of 100, more than 100, that have any problem with this at all. But and I don't want to take you by surprise with this, because I have not read, sped read your biz. Is that a legitimate expression? Sped read it as quickly as I could, because I really like to linger over stuff, and there just wasn't enough time, really. But where do the UFO guys figure in on this? I mean, I know you're not a ufologist, but...
Oh, I am. Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent.
Absolutely.
100%. See, that old shotgun out the back door works, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, sir. In fact, the book that preceded this, The Alien Interviews, is 17 interviews with people who have come up close and personal with the UFO phenomena. Everything from abductions to Dr. Roger Lear weighs in on it. Dr. Lynn Katai, Phoenix Lights, with Stevensville Lights. I mean, I talk to all these people, talk to witnesses, talk to people who have been abducted, the whole nine yards. And that's, the book is sort of a primer for those people who don't believe that the phenomena is real, burgeoning, and not going away. Guess what, folks? The phenomena is real, burgeoning, and not going away. In my opinion, it's not, you know, entities from Zeta Reticula. It's not that. These are interdimensional beings posing. And this is where, you want to talk Cosmic Chess Match? Go right back to Ben Stein sitting down with Richard Dawkins. What does Dawkins believe? Dawkins believes in what I call the coming great deception. He believes that aliens, a race of extraterrestrials, what is the History Channel promulgating? The same thing, ancient astronaut theory, somehow seeded all life on this planet. Well, you can believe that if you want to. You're being set up for the coming great deception. Look, this is something that's in the Cosmic Chess Match. And there are two other researchers I'm aware of that came to the same conclusion that I came to, and there was no collusion between us. And it has to do, I interviewed, my co-producer and myself, Richard Shaw, and I interviewed for the Watcher series, Dr. Roger Lear. And Dr. Roger Lear, as you know, he's been on this show many times, has extracted 16 implants. Okay, I've held these things in my hand. I've talked to Dr. Roger Lear. You know, he's got no Nephilim dog in the hunt. Or, you know, we come from slightly different paradigms, but there's commonality. What are these implants? What's going on with these things? He, like I believe, that these things are not tracking devices. They are somehow changing the DNA, okay? So with that in mind, I said, wow, that's, like, really interesting. And I got to thinking, and I went back to prophecy. And guess what? We all know the mark of the beast, 666, right? But there's other passages. And here's something to think about. Oftentimes with prophetic literature, there are three, it's almost like a puzzle. There are overlapping prophecies which no one sees fit to overlap them at the time, a priori, before the event happens. Only after the event happens do we go, oh my gosh, there were all these other prophecies. With that in mind, we know that it will be like the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns. It begs the question, what differentiates the days of Noah? There's several things. The Nephilim were here. What of a Nephilim? The byproduct, in my opinion, of fallen angels, okay, having sex with the women and creating this hybrid called the Nephilim. But there's another dynamic. the No Fallen Angels are back. Okay, get that. But there's another dynamic, and that dynamic is length of life was 500, 600, 700, 800 years before people died. Is that just mythos? It's not. It's true. We found recently, we know that there's a gene that causes aging. Reverse that gene and people might not die. But then we go to the book of Revelation, all right, that very enigmatic book in the guidebook of the supernatural. And it tells us this criteria, anyone who takes the mark, anyone who takes the mark will immediately be judged. There's no second chances, which seems really harsh. Then we read a little further that anyone who takes the mark, grievous sores will appear on their body. Then we read further that men and women will seek death during this time but not find it. So here's a scenario that I've come up with. This mark is not, you know, some chip that people think it is. I believe it's the implants that Dr. Roger Lear, these are prototypes of the mark. They will come with two things, and there's a movie right now called Thrive that they're already talking about it, right? They'll come with a free energy source, and they'll come with a chip, an implantable chip, which will change your DNA. Why are we being shown constantly? We talked about this in the first hour, chimeras, the guys over in England, right? Fooling around with the DNA. Why are we being shown, let's say, like movies like Avatar, where somehow a man, what is human? It's blurring the lines of what is human and what is not human. Essentially, Avatar is not human anymore, is he? But what's in him? How does consciousness travel from the human body, which is crippled, into the avatar body, through the tree, through some ritualistic chanting mumbo-jumbo that we see? You know, we're being conditioned to accept chimeras. What does the guidebook of the supernatural tell us? It fits this criteria. What does Dr. Roger Lear extract? He doesn't necessarily believe this, like this scenario that I'm telling you, but this is what I think the mark of the beast is. It will change the person's DNA. You will live 500 to 600 years disease free. How about that? The line for that would form around the block. When they show up, they'll have two things: free energy, and this mark will bring you into the new world order, which we're all talking about, right? And it will happen after some sort of cataclysmic event in the Middle East. More than likely, a nuke will go off. Several nukes may go off. And this will create the greatest climate of fear on this planet. And I realize some people out there going, oh, this, you're just talking, you're just a scare tactics. Well, you know, I wish I had a more pleasant news. But when I look at what's going on the world stage and the vitriol between, let's say, Israel and the 28 other surrounding nations, give me a break. It's going to happen sooner or later. And then I look at movies like Thrive, it's coming out. And I look at the work of Dr. Roger Lear, and you start fitting the pieces together, and you go, oh, my gosh, we are like a freight train on steroids headed towards this event. We are headed towards this event. It'll be a one-world government and a one-world religious system.
We're going to get back into this a little bit deeper, and I invite you to take us everywhere you want to go, like it was the last chance we were going to have to do it. We're with L.A. Marzulli tonight. His book, the latest one, The Cosmic Chess Match. When's check? And worse, when's mate? I'm John B. Wells, delighted to be in with you tonight on Coast to Coast AM.